Welcome back to Kicks and Picks. We are live after a two-week break thanks to the international window. Not much going on last week, but we are back to talk about pretty busy weekend in the Premier League and Serie A. All three of our teams have big matches ahead of them this weekend. Some of us probably more excited than others about that in the current state of affairs for our squads, but we'll talk about all those, our top picks in the Premier League and Serie A, and anything else we like around Europe. And we'll kick it off in the Premier League. Scotty, your team, Liverpool, is hosting Chelsea, who, like you put it, pretty much low-key, one of the hottest teams in the Premier League right now. Liverpool minus 165 on the money line, Chelsea plus 380 in a matchup that's featuring the first-place team in Liverpool on 18 points and Chelsea in fourth on 14 points. Maybe a little bit of surprise there.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea seemed to figure it out in terms of offensive output. Defense has still been somewhat iffy, but when you've scored 3+ goals in 4 of your last 5 games going into break, it's a good streak. Obviously, didn't finish, you know, the little stint on a high note with a draw against 10-man Forest, but you know, can't argue with the results in the form that they were in leading up to that. So it'll be an interesting match for sure. Nick and I were just kind of talking off air about if this is a game with goals or not goals, because you know, Liverpool's defense has been really, really strong, you know, all season long. Chelsea, as I just mentioned, on a, you know, pretty strong goal scoring form. Yet the books really are not giving Chelsea a whole lot of credit for what they're doing right now. They have Liverpool as a pretty heavy favorite at minus 165 on the money line, Chelsea plus 380 dog. So it's a curious case here. It feels like it's an under game. I have screamed from the rooftops how Liverpool, their biggest frustration that I have with them is their inability to play after an international break. I think they get a little bit of help here with a Sunday match, so an extra day to kind of figure things out. They're also at home. But it's that will always sit in the back of my head when we're capping a game with Liverpool after an international break, because I know they're slow to score, especially in the first half. I don't expect, you know, a whole lot of action right off the jump. And, you know, Chelsea, I'm not sure what we're going to see from them, to be honest with you. I have expectations that they'll perform well. My expectation is that they're going to get at least a goal in this one. But again, similar issue. They had a lot of guys on international duty, and getting them back into the squad and into the form they were in leading up to this, who's to say? So it's a tough one to call, because if this was happening immediately after the Forest game, I think I'd give Chelsea at least, you know, at least a goal, if not two. And would expect Liverpool to have to keep up, but it's tough. It's like we're starting a whole different little chapter of the season right now, and I'm not sure where either of these teams are going to fall.
Yeah, kudos to Coach Steve, first of all, for like the quickest intro in the history of our show, where he was like about to be down on Roma, and he knew we were going to call him out for being down on Roma.
There's a whole section for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got a whole later in the episode. Yeah.
Well done. It's
in the tweet. It's in the title of the video. We're going to talk Roma. Don't worry.
So, you know, I was hoping to let the viewers catch a breath, you know, maybe hit a retweet, get them on here before Scotty jumped into his analysis. But this is where I would typically disagree with Scott and say, no, you're being pessimistic. Pool's in first place. Look at the great things they're doing. But I think you're onto something. I think you're right in this case. There's just a lot of weird shit coming into this matchup. But I do want to shout out, I mean, Pool has only given up 2 goals all season long. That's awesome. With a new coach, that's unheard of, right? So credit to them.
Maybe should also be called out. Allison not available for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, that hurts.
Hamstring. So yeah, we have Kelleher is going to be in net.
I mean, and listen, again, he's been good when he's played, but correct. We're not comparing him to Allison, right? So
correct.
Credit to Poole. I feel bad for doing it, because I feel like when I really went on like my give Liverpool credit streak last year, that's when they started to falter. So I'm hoping to not put that out into the world for you this time. But you said it right. Their defense has been really good. Both of these teams have been scoring a ton of goals, right? We got 16 goals for Chelsea, 13 goals for Liverpool. So everybody is going to want to jump on the over immediately. And I'm so with you. I don't think that is the play here. You mentioned it. We're coming off of international break. A lot of games already early on this season. That's not a good look. We have Champions League next week. I don't have the fixture list in front of me, but I know at the very least Liverpool will be playing. Who's to say they're not looking ahead to that, or maybe going to rotate some guys? You don't know. You don't know what lineups are going to look like. You know me, I love to lock in a number as early as I possibly can. this is not the game to do that. But I'm definitely leaning towards under 3.5 goals. It's at minus 130. If you're going to take a side here, I really don't mind Chelsea at +1 because I think this is a one-goal game one way or the other. Poole could very easily win. They could win by one. Could be a draw. Chelsea could win by one. I don't think it's too much off of that. Kind of the way I'm looking at it here, I think that the numbers on Palmer and Jackson at like plus 250 to score a goal, you know, yeah. Chelsea's going to, if you backing Chelsea, one of those guys has to get in the back of the net. So plus 250 is kind of silly. But just proceed with caution, really, is what I'm trying to say. I think this would be a tremendous, tremendous win for either of these sides. Mm-hmm. Draw wouldn't shock me, but mm-hmm. I'm leaning under. I'm leaning Chelsea +1.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I was just going to say, Coach, real quick, to back up those stats you gave, like going under 3.5. These two teams head-to-head, they don't historically in recent years score a lot of goals. 6 out of 7 head-to-heads under 2.5. And you're getting the under 3.5 at minus 130. And also, you know, Liverpool's unbeaten in 9 straight against Chelsea. But when you go through match by match over the last few seasons, it's, you know, 1-0 win in the League Cup last February. And then it's, they did beat down Chelsea last January in the league right before that. But then it's a draw.
It's a lot of 0-0 a lot of cup final games that go to
penalty kicks.
Nothing I loved in like throwing my thoughts out there and then you come and just back me up with actual numbers and reasoning for it.
Going back to pretty much everything post-COVID, you have a 2-0 pool win, and after that it's a 1-0 Chelsea win, 1-1 draw in the league. There was a 2-2, which doesn't back the under, but it does back your +1. So yeah, I like both of those angles in this, and this is a Chelsea side that's been hot. I know Liverpool's only conceded twice, but they haven't had the toughest schedule yet to have to really be tested by a high scoring offense, right? The best team by name that they've played is Manchester United. And we know the situation United's in right now. And you know, reverse, you know, Chelsea hasn't faced the stoutest teams either defensively, but I think when you've scored, I think they have 16 or 18 goals scored, which is second best in the league against the best defense. You're probably going to have a chance to get at least one. And is Liverpool scoring 2, 3, 4 goals? Historically speaking, it hasn't been that way. And like Scott said, after international breaks, they're not the most potent team. So I think that +1 angle is a good one. I also like that under 3.5 based on how these teams have played each other.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe in what we're saying here, Chelsea gets a goal, Liverpool need 3 for you to lose your bet. Doesn't seem likely.
Yeah, and, you know, asking Kelleher to keep a clean sheet against this, you know, second best offense in Premier League this season, it's a big ask. So the way that I'm kind of looking at it is I'm taking a, you know, stepping back from handicapping the match, I'm looking at it as a fan. This is a game where if Liverpool draw it, even though it's at home, I'm not that upset about it, right? Like, they're in a title chase, I get it, but I think this is a really tricky fixture for them coming off the international break with a backup goalie, you know, in who knows what type of form. If they come away with this and it's a 1-1 draw or a 2-2 draw, like, I'm not going to be like, it's not going to ruin my weekend. It's not going to like make me really upset. Yeah. So in that sense, taking Chelsea +1 is a no-brainer because obviously it's a win. And if Liverpool gets some Anfield magic and they pull out like a winner in the second half, you know, you get your money back. So it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
The thing that I do, there is a prop that I do like, and going back to last year, we know Liverpool used to have problems with conceding first. Not as much of an issue now that they've got their defensive issues sorted out. But again, not to beat the same drum. Backup keeper, you know, Cleve Kelleher. We'll see what form he's in this year. Obviously, we played great last season. But for Chelsea to score the first goal, it's plus 150. I don't hate that. Liverpool are slow starters coming out of international breaks. And I don't, like I said, I'm not going to bet on them to score in the first half. But I could certainly see a Chelsea counter or something similar that gets them the opening goal and forces Liverpool to play from behind.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be a good one. It'll be interesting to see. This is a really a test for both these sides to kind of show how real they are, I think, at this point in the season, considering, like I said, the schedule they've played so far. It's not like Arsenal, who's played, you know, Villa and City and a couple other tough ones already. These teams have been somewhat untested. So if one of them could really come out, which we don't expect to happen, but if one of them comes out and really has a resounding victory, it could really boost their chances. Either, I guess, Chelsea more top four probably angle, Liverpool, maybe they become true title contenders. And who knows, if Chelsea does take a heavy defeat, does it kind of derail the momentum that they've been on so far? That's, I think, what I'll be interesting from a non-betting angle, just from a viewing angle, this one.
A Chelsea one would be massive because I think it pretty much I wouldn't say it cements, but it gives you a very clear top
statement.
Four for the season, right? We know Aston Villa is going to be in the mix. They're going to be in the mix, but we also know that this is the first time where they really have to deal with Champions League mid-season rotation. They haven't had any key injuries yet, although there's some questionable players between Onana and the like. So maybe that starts to come into play as we get into this like really busy period between now and the holiday window.
Yeah, I agree with Scott. I mean, I think Villa is the clear other top four contender, but I mean, look at the rest. I'm not going to say it every show, but I guess I'll say it every show. I don't know that I believe in Brighton yet. Newcastle has not looked good.
Nope.
Tottenham really hasn't looked good. And then who do you got? Like Fulham? Do we believe in Fulham staying power? So United's a mess. Obviously, they're not even top half of the table. It's kind of Chelsea's spot to lose the way they're playing. So 3 points here would do wonders for that. I know it's super early. 1 point really sets them up okay. I think Villa's going to go through a rough patch. They kind of haven't yet. They haven't looked good. They've been getting really good results. So credit to them. I say this all the time. The mark of a really good team is to get results when you're not playing well, or you know when you're up against adversity. I think Villa's done a pretty good job of that. I mean, they're in fifth place. Let's not overhype where they are, but I think they look like a better fifth place team than they are. Can they keep it up? That's really what I'm interested to see. Or Chelsea, same question, right? Which of these two teams can keep it up? So
we know Chelsea has the depth, right? They have a whole like squad that not even allowed to practice with the first team that probably fit into half of the teams in the
season. I sound ridiculous saying this because we're only 7 weeks into the Premier League, but like every week there's a prove me game or two or three. It's been really fun so far. So this should be a great game.
Yeah. And I know it's only, you know, seven matches, but when you think about trying to separate yourself into a race for the top four, and I think you're right. I think right now it's a five team race based on who's there and who's struggling and who's not there. Seven matches is almost 20% of the season. It's still almost a fifth of the season. So, you know, like when you start breaking it down that way, if you're, you know, after 7 weeks, I'm going to go down to United here. They're way down there. They're only at 8 points. You're 6 points off that top four with a bunch of teams between you and them. And two of the main teams, Chelsea and Villa, would be the teams you're going to have to catch. Like, are you making up that kind of ground if you do this for another 7 weeks? Probably not, right? So I do think from a Chelsea standpoint, this could really cement them as a top four true contender. I do think Villa, obviously, based on what they did last season, is the favorite in that sense. But like Scott said, you're balancing two competitions where Chelsea doesn't have to do that now. So that's going to be interesting to see. I think, you know, Spurs would be the team to keep an eye on. I think maybe if they can kind of get going a little bit, but I think these two seem to be the ones battling it out for top four. If Chelsea can
tell me if I'm crazy. I'm sorry. I know we're spending a ton of time on this game. Like Chelsea almost has the best defense of those three teams you mentioned.
Yeah.
Which is insane when you think about it. That's what I worry about.
It's still a goal a match defense, right? It's still a goal a match. It's not great, but
so is Spurs. So are Villa, right? They give up a ton of goals. So
yeah.
All right, let's move around the Premier League. What are some other things you guys are looking at here? Jumping out at you. I'll just read off the rest of the fixture list, and you guys can tell me what you like here. So we have Spurs hosting West Ham. United hosting Brentford, Newcastle hosting Brighton, Fulham hosting Villa, Ipswich hosting Everton, Southampton hosting Leicester, Bournemouth hosting Arsenal, Wolves hosting City, and then Forest hosting Crystal Palace.
I mean, let's talk Villa because, we're discussing them as being legit top four, you know, contenders in this season. And this line jumps out at me, right? Because you have, they're away to Fulham, but they're plus 190 underdogs, so just slight underdogs, but still on a draw no bet plus 105, and that feels like a very odd line for a team that had top four aspirations that started off the season pretty well. I think they got off to a quick start. Their offense is going to be what drives them to success this season. They have a prodigious goal scorer in Ollie Watkins,
Johnny.
But I can't really make heads or tails of why the books have set the line this way. I get it. It's coming off international break. They have a Champions League match, you know, midweek. But it, it it feels
that's the answer.
It's such answer. Like I am so very tempted to just take them plus 105 on the money line because I don't know that you could convince me to take plus 105 draw no bet because I don't think you could convince me to take Fulham money line on this one even at plus 145. It just feels like this is a game that Aston Villa come in, they roll 3-0 and they move on to Champions League and then they deal with it that way. But the line's scaring me off. It's too good to be true.
I'm exactly that. I mean, I'm going to say I am inclined to agree with you that I think Villa are the better team. Villa are in better form. Plus 105 seems like a gift. Why wouldn't we take this? If I were betting it, and I 99% I'm telling you guys I'm staying away from this game. If I were betting it, I'd be betting Fulham draw no bet because of everything you just said. When the lines don't add up and this is the way it shapes out, that's the play 90% of the time. And I think this is exactly that sandwich game that you either need to fade the team like Villa, where you would think that you want to be all over it. They're a big plus number. Or you need to avoid it altogether because they're coming off the international break. Champions League is next week. They're away from home. Now is not the time to back Villa. I strongly suggest you stay away from this game. They win, great, but it's going to be a sweaty win. I don't think they come out and hammer Fulham 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be wary of getting too much in on the Villa money line, especially because when you look at Fulham's form, their form has been good. They're, you know, they lost to City right before the international break, but it was 3-2. They were able to put up two goals on City. Before that, win back-to-back wins against Forest and Newcastle, a couple draws. So they've been in pretty good form themselves. You know, they're not, you know, you talked about their staying power. I don't think they have the staying power. And, you know, historically speaking, Villa has controlled the series. They've won the last three head-to-heads in the Premier League, including both last season when we know what Villa did overall in the season. 6 out of 8 head-to-heads have been over 2.5 goals. But that contrasts kind of what Fulham's done this year, where they've been more of an under team. That's an angle I would look at, though, because two of the last three for Fulham have gone over. I don't know what the
over. I feel like every Villa game is 2-1, one way or the other, right? They're winning 2-1, they're losing 2-1.
Except for last time, right, when they 0-0. United 0-0 when we had them. But, yeah, I mean, the over set in this one at 2.5 at minus 135, that's not a number I hate.
I like the over 2.5 both teams to score at minus 110. Because I think both teams are getting a goal in this, and I do like the over. It's just it's not quite, you know, as juicy of a number as I would like. So taking that with the both teams to score at minus 110 seems like the right play in this one, even though I do love.
Screams to me like teams. Fulham get an early goal, like first 20 minutes and they're up 1-0. And then if we're backing Villa, we're fucking chasing them the whole game. And they've won two of those for us this year. So, I mean, I'm not knocking Villa, but just somewhere I don't want to be involved when they're going to be looking ahead to Champions League.
It's just crazy because this is a Villa team that beat Bayern 1-0 like 3 days or 5 days before international break started.
Right.
Like it doesn't make sense.
I think that United result takes some of the wind out of the sails, right? It takes a little momentum away. Plus you have that two weeks away and you kind of forget about that Bayern win a little bit, right? The international break kind of like clouds your memory of how a team's playing sometimes, I feel like too. But
no.
I think it is one of those, you know, be wary. Like, you got to pick and choose your spots this week, I feel like, more than most weeks because it's after an international break. And this might be one where most weeks, if I see that plus 190 on Villa, even with Fulham in pretty good form, I'm going to give it a try because plus 190 on a team that's as good as Villa, right? I'm going to take it and take my chance or at least take the plus 105 draw no bet. I don't know.
I would discount the United result because that's the type of thing that happens after you beat Bayern 1-0 on the
week. You get that letdown.
You know what I mean? You let down. It just happens. So I'm not going to read too much into that. I'm talking myself into taking Aston Villa draw no bet because if that hits, it's plus 105. I just can't fathom Fulham winning this game. Yeah. I can't do it.
I agree.
I also like the both teams to score over 2.5 at minus 110, but I think personally I have to do draw no bet Aston Villa. It's going to sucker me in. I have to do it.
Dude, quick pause. Shout out our boy Leg, his show 2 Foot Talk. I'm guessing if you follow us, you've seen their stuff. They're also on Wednesdays, so we do have a little bit of crossover, but absolute shout out to him and Oaks. Big supporters, great handicappers, great show that they do. Dude, enjoy your vacation. Hopefully you're going to see a game or two. Eat some paella, whatever it is. Enjoy that.
Mountain show. All right. Yes. Other games that we like in the Premier League. Nick, I think we were talking Newcastle versus Brighton. Where are we standing this? We're not Newcastle believers, but you also just said you weren't a Brighton believer. So
yeah,
who are we going to believe in this one?
We've talked about Brighton every single week, and every single week I'm like, no, fine. When's the real Brighton going to show up? They're not doing it. They're this, they're that. They drew three games in a row. They lost. I'm like, oh, I'm so right. Brighton stinks. Then they come back and win. I don't know what to make of Brighton yet. But I can tell you, Newcastle has just been disappointing across the board. Newcastle has never looked good in one game that we've backed them. They've never looked good in a game that we faded them. Somehow, these guys have the same exact record, right? They're both 3 wins, 3 draws, 1 loss. They both feel a little bit worse than that to me. So what I don't understand in this game is, why is Brighton such a massive, massive underdog? Almost 3-1 underdog in this game. Why am I not backing Brighton? I'm going to go against everything I said for 7 weeks. Why wouldn't I back Brighton in this game?
Newcastle side that's not scoring 8 goals in 7 matches.
Yeah, no. This is 100% a game where Newcastle either comes out and loses a close one, or they absolutely demo Brighton at home, and they have one of those like classic home, like, here, we turn the page, we're into a new chapter, we're going to get rolling again. So I either see this being like a 3-1 win for Newcastle, or it's going to be like a Brighton, like, 1-0 type victory.
It's kind of more than that.
So I do like Brighton double chance, just because it feels like Brighton's going to be in this. I don't expect them to get caught sleeping, but Newcastle feels like they're kind of like a sleeping giant right now, where they've been very mediocre to below average to start the season. It feels like something's going to, you know, the shoe's going to drop at some point. Something's going to click. And they're going to find form. They're not exactly like an injured team right now that's just kind of like limping along. They're just trying to find that, you know, purple patch of form that kind of propels their season forward.
Yeah, is this like that put up or shut up spot for Newcastle at home? Kind of need the 3 points.
Seven straight put up or shut up game for Brighton in my eyes. So
yeah,
Newcastle's about to have
one. Being the home side, you know, like
definitely.
I definitely think for them, it's
a very key part of the season for Newcastle, because they have Brighton this week, then they have Chelsea next weekend, EFL match against Chelsea midweek, and then Arsenal the weekend after that. So they have 4 pretty difficult fixtures in a row that certainly feels like it could set the tone for the rest of the season, right? If you struggle through these 4 matches, if you get knocked out of the EFL Cup to Chelsea, if you drop out of those 9 points, if you only pick up like 2 points out of those 9, it definitely feels like, okay, Champions League is no longer going to be in the discussion. We're just fighting for a European spot, and our chance of winning a trophy is probably now just limited to the FA Cup in the second half of the season. So I think these next 3 weeks or so for Newcastle are going to be very telling for what we can expect for them for the rest of the season.
Yep. That's fair. I mean, I'm with you, Scotty. I kind of lean Brighton double chance in this one, but another game that just doesn't make sense. Why are Newcastle even money? I don't know. Probably avoiding it again. Just be fucking careful, man.
It does feel like a game with goals, though. I know, Oaks, you're saying under 3, 3.25. I think this is a game where, yeah, like I said, if Newcastle are going to win this game, it's going to be a game where they win 3-0 or so. If it's a Brighton win or a Brighton draw, it'll certainly be well under. The 3 will be a very comfortable number to sit at. If you're looking at goal scorers, though, I don't know. Call me crazy, but Anthony Gordon at +240 feels like a very nice number to have in your back pocket.
Unless you're backing Danny Welbeck, who's turning back the clock right now.
He's been good. I don't know. He has been good, but I've been waiting for that to fall apart. Milner fell apart pretty quickly. It took him about 4 matches, and then he hurt his hamstring or something. And I'm waiting for that to happen with Welbeck. That's an any minute type of thing. And it's going to happen when I bet on him for like a shot on target or something. He'll pull a hamstring in like the 15th minute, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have too much more to say. I feel like we're talking an awful lot about games where I'm like, don't bet it. But it's one of those weeks, right?
It's like one of those weeks where you have to talk yourself either into or out of bets in some places.
So. If you have to talk yourself that far into a bet, don't bet it. Yeah. That's my advice of the show.
All right. So then let's pivot to the one where I think it's a no-brainer. We're looking at Manchester United hosting Brentford. Brentford +1 is -135. Where does that go wrong? Because Brentford scores. They score in bunches. They score quickly.
Score in the first like 5 minutes again.
They score in like the first 5 minutes, first 2 minutes. I don't see United getting three goals in this, and I don't see Brentford getting shut out. So I don't know where Brentford plus one loses. I just don't see where it loses. It might not win, but it's definitely not going to lose.
No, that's exactly the same principle as taking Chelsea plus one. Yeah. Brentford scores a goal, you pretty much got it sewn up to not lose your money. So with you 100%. Until United,
especially if they score in the second minute, you know, and then you're sitting pretty for the last 80 minutes.
100%. So
I'm with you on against that. A United squad that scored five goals in the Premier League.
All right, I'm going to make that my lock. Brentford plus one, minus 135. It's not super juicy, but I think that's the one that I feel the best about.
I like it.
Yeah. Anything else you guys like?
Yeah, I like Everton. Everton plus a quarter of a goal, minus 130. I think Everton gets something at Ipswich. Ipswich is pretty terrible. I want to do them a service by saying, no, actually, they're out of the relegation zone. I apologize. They have 4 points through seven games, but they don't have a win yet. So I think Everton goes on a little bit of a run. They're unbeaten in three games. Everton at least should get a draw on this one. Give me the quarter of a goal.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Ipswich has been, they've been tricky, but I think this is a game where it's, we talk about sometimes when two bad teams play each other, it's usually going to be like a goal fest.
Yep.
I think this is going to be a goal fest. I actually don't hate Everton over 1.5 at plus 140.
Ah, okay. Don't tempt me with a good time. over 2.5 has been automatic in every single Everton game, so I wouldn't fault anybody for taking the straight over either.
I think that's it. I mean, I'm not touching Arsenal, Bournemouth right now. Certainly not touching Wolves City. Nothing you can convince me there. And the first match you talked about, Coach, or you listed there, the first match of the weekend, Spurs versus West Ham. I mean, that's an easy over 3.5.
I think it's like minus 115. That's a goal game. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
So that one, you know, by all means, take that. Just know that you're getting up early in the morning to watch it. So don't be disappointed if it's 0-0 at half and it's only 8 in the morning local time.
Arsenal and City, both on the road, both favorite.
I don't even know. Like sometimes I'll throw those into a parlay where you just take them both money line.
I just did that and I got, I think it was plus 115.
115, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, especially if Liverpool, let's see, they play before Liverpool. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. I was gonna say, that's a game where like if Liverpool win, then I'll just do a quick bet on those two parlayed together, and if it hits, it hits. If it doesn't, I get Liverpool gains ground on somebody.
All right. Do we move to Serie A?
Oh, let's do it.
I think we're ready.
All right. So, Nick, we'll start with your boys because I think they play before Roma. So,
cool.
Oaks wants to know, will Lazio score a goal? He's referring to Lazio. Are they hosting, I think, Juve?
No,
they're at Juve.
Oh, okay. They're at Juve. So we know Juve hasn't conceded much. Can Lazio do it? Can they get a goal?
I think they can. I'm going to put on my realistic Lazio hat here. Actually, my favorite bet of the game is Juve over 1.5 at plus 125. Lazio overs are definitely back, so there's something to be said about that. 25 goals in 7 of their games, so averaging well over 3. They've started to score, but they've given up 11 goals. So they haven't looked exactly great. Their schedule has been kind of soft. But it's an emotional play for me because there's only one result that really kills me, and that's a Juve 1-0 win. Anything else, and I'm walking away from the game with something, right? It's either a draw, and okay, Lazio didn't lose the game, or Juve scores 2 goals and I hit my bet.
Man, Nick, you didn't get specific enough because it's not just a Juve 1-0 win. It's a Juve 1-0 win where Vlahovic scores the only goal.
Plus 190, I wouldn't be mad at anybody for taking it. He scores against Lazio all the fucking time.
Yeah, there you go.
I always joke he scores against relegation teams.
With a Gotti goal, though.
Yeah, I mean, I say he always scores against relegation teams. I used to put Lazio in that category when I would joke around, but I can't really ask for much more out of them so far this year. They've gotten off to a pretty good start, but I think Juve win this game. I'd be really shocked if Lazio got a result away.
Yeah, Juve no losses in 9. Lazio wins in 4, but like you mentioned, the overs are back. 9 out of 9 matches this season, over 2.5.
25 goals.
Scoring 8 out of 9. Leg wants me to say something nice about Lazio. Well, they're ahead of Roma in the standings. I guess that's
He's been good. I was very critical of him. Right, he still had a stupid fucking loss to Udinese. Inexcusable. Stupid loss to Fiorentina. Inexcusable. He's been perfect outside of that, and the players seem to be enjoying it. They seem to be scoring goals better than I expected from a guy who's, you know, 70 years old and is only coaching relegation teams. So credit to him.
Yeah, it speaks to, I guess, Serie A as a whole this year, right? That Terrible. Everybody's losing everybody. Juve's the only team that hasn't lost so far, yet they're in third place because they just draw left and right. So
4 out of the last 5.
Yeah, it's crazy the way Serie A has been this year. I mean, we were looking at the Premier League standings. There's 4 winless teams in the Premier League right now. The only winless team in Serie A is Monza. So, you know, there's a lot more parity right now in Serie A. And he says Napoli is the best team in Italy based on what they've done so far. They are. Conte is doing his thing with no Europe, which kind of was expected that he would help improve that side. So we'll see. But yeah, I think based on form, I agree with you. I think it's going to be tough to go to the Allianz and get a win. If Lazio get anything out of this match, that's a win for them, right? Like you said, yep. If they get a draw of this match, that's a win. And you know, Juve, one goal conceded in 7 matches. I mean, that speaks for itself.
Yeah.
He's got to find ways to score in some of those matches.
To that point, coach, because I was going to try to get something a little juicy out of this game. Nick, I'm looking at Juve win in under 2.5. It's plus 295.
Whoa.
That, I mean, you already said you like Juve to win in this one. Coach saying Juve doesn't give up goals. Do we think Juve is going to run away with this? Like,
I mean, that's silly. I mean, give yourself under 3.5 for probably plus 150. Yeah. I mean, why not give
yourself? It's like plus 135.
But
no, that's a great play. I mean, that's putting everything we said together in a nice little package. So yeah, I'll play it.
I wonder if this is worth like a sprinkle. I rarely play exact score. I played it like once or twice.
All I'm going to say, guys, is the last time Coach Steve gave us a Juve bet, he told us Juve to keep a clean sheet, and they gave up their only goal of the season.
Yep. Only goal of the season.
To Cagliari, right?
The number.
to
Cagliari. Yeah, I think it was Cagliari. Yeah. And I felt so good about that one, right? Juve 1-0 win is plus 425. Interesting one.
There you go. So I'm going to bet Juve team total for 2 units, plus 125, and then I'll bet Juve 1-0 win for plus 425, and I walk away. Great. Because Lazio wins 2-1.
How could that lose?
I don't even care.
How lose?
A 0.
I'll take either 3 units or 3 points. I'm good.
0-0. No, 0-0 draw.
Okay. Even better. Then I get to fucking clown Juve fans on Twitter for the next fucking half a season. That's the best result. Oh, you couldn't score on Lazio? We give up 15 fucking goals a game. Couldn't score on us?
Yeah.
Vlahovic, 0 goals, 0 assists. I can't lose, actually. I'm going to make those 2 bets.
The emotional hedge. It's a strong one.
The best one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, coach. Try and delay us from getting to Roma.
No, we can go to Roma. it is what it is at this point, right? There's
what is it, coach? So tell me what it is. What is it right now?
What is it? It's a dumpster fire.
Okay.
To put it simply, that Monza draw really was disappointing right before the break. Yeah, I mean, this is at the Olimpico, so you get a pretty generous number on Inter. Like Oaks is calling out. He says minus 115 is a crime. I'm seeing minus 125 on the money line right now on DraftKings. I see no reason not to play that. I play it? Probably not, because I don't like to bet against my team. I don't do that emotional hedge.
Undefeated
stuff.
In 5, coach.
Yeah. But I don't know where this Roma squad goes, honestly.
8 goals
scored. Well, that's the problem. They don't concede, right? They've only conceded 5 goals in 7 matches. But
well, the good news for you, coach, is that I heard a rumor that Roma are targeting Beto in the January transfer window. Cure all of your goal scoring woes.
Yeah, he'll just work hard up top, like the same way Eldor Shimordov does.
It couldn't have been a worse time since we started.
Get kicked off Twitter if he goes to Roma.
The timing of that news after we just started calling Roma the Everton of Italy or the new Everton, and then we get the Beto news was just unbelievable. Yeah. Couldn't have been a better time.
Same ownership group now.
Leg knows. Man.
Oh, man. I wish we were better at StreamYard. I put the graphic up right now. of Beto working hard. I have to update the tracker. He hasn't scored in a couple games. I think he hasn't played. But, I don't even think he gets off the bench. So, yeah, perfect fit for Roma.
Yeah,
can't Roma get off the right bench now. At Everton. Roma right there to sign him.
You know, you got the new manager bounce a little bit against Udinese. You got the 3-0 win. And then they played at Atletic pretty well and ended up conceding pretty late to draw a match that, heading in, I said a draw would be a decent result. You know, Bilbao's not an easy match for it. Most sides, you know, and then the Venezia win was not an impressive win. They needed two late goals to escape a probably relegation Venezia side. It's been rough. And then you lose it at Ellsberg in Europa League, and then you draw the only team that hasn't won a match in Serie A right before the international break. So any like momentum Juric had built up in this first couple matches, getting a couple Serie A wins and that draw in Europe is gone. Rumors over the international break that they could bring back De Rossi and get rid of Juric. I mean, that's relegation zone shit right there. Like, that's the kind of stuff Zamperini would do at Palermo with guys like, not Ballardini. There's another guy that was always in and out of the relegation clubs. Him, but there was somebody before him. I could picture him, but I can't think of his name. But like, that's
the shoulder length hair, Davide Nicola,
yeah, like guys like that. I don't know, like that's what it reminds me when a club brings back up, like big teams don't bring back managers after they fire them because they're under contract still or whatever. Big Sam over here like says that's the Premier League special version of it, but
exactly right.
I have very low expectations going into this one.
Who are you? First time in the history of the show that you don't have expectations.
Well, they don't beat Inter to begin with for the most part, you know, in the past few years since Inter's gotten really good again. And I just don't see, I don't see how they get it done.
I'm going to need someone to talk me out of this bet then, because I'm looking at Inter Milan and over 1.5 at +120. Someone talk me out of that.
Impossible. Silly.
Absolutely. No one's going to talk me out of that one?
No way.
Do we make that a pod lock then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Coach doesn't bet against his team, though. He just said that.
Yeah. I'm trying to see.
Two out of three majority rules, so you don't need
do we have, like, assist numbers for
Leg is in. There's your third.
Does Roma keep it tight where it's, like, a 1-0 loss, like a moral victory?
I mean, I could see that because they don't concede a lot. Juric plays –
I mean, Inter have scored two-plus goals in three of the last four meetings against these teams. So, I don't know. It feels like this is the
right Inter thing. Over 5.5 corners looks really good to me at +110.
Oh, Nicky Corners is back.
I think this is going to be one-way traffic. I'm just trying to imagine who in Roma's midfield is stopping this.
Here's the thing that doesn't make sense. Just the Inter team total over 1.5 is -135.
Yeah.
In what world are they scoring two goals and Roma's keeping it close? Doesn't happen. So I'm gonna talk myself. You guys can tell me if you want to make that a pod lock or not. I'll leave it to the Serie A team here. But
no, I think so. I'm trying to. It's not even an over game that you can bet. I mean, didn't Inter just like run off like 5 goals last game and like 15 minutes or something like that, something stupid.
In their last match?
Something really silly.
Let's see, they beat Torino 3-2. They beat Red Star 4-0. Udinese 3-2.
Maybe it was the Red Star game I'm thinking of where they just rolled off 1,000 goals.
Yeah. But I mean, they've scored 3 goals in each of their last 3 games going into break. So I don't know. Over 1.5 in an Inter win seems like the right thing to do here.
Struggling to find something better, quite honestly.
All right, so we got two pod locks.
Man, I mean,
Brentford +1, Inter, and over 1.5.
Roma under half a goal is plus 195. I wouldn't mind that as a sprinkle. I'm not making that a play. I'm not, but if Nick, somebody wanted to say Roma wasn't scoring, you're giving me plus 200.
But you're forgetting about their world-class striker in Dovbyk. Don't forget
I'm not going to hate on Dovbyk. I think he's actually a pretty good player. I think he works hard. I think he actually works hard. Let me make that distinction. You know, he's still getting used to a new league. I think he'll be all right. I would like to see a number on DeMarco assist, goal or assist. I think that'd be silly.
I don't think they have.
Yeah, I haven't seen any yet. But just keep that in mind.
So, Coach, where are we at then with Roma and their season expectations for the rest of the year? Are we trying to qualify for some sort of European competition next season? Have we just given up on that?
Don't forget, just like 3 weeks ago, Coach was like, "Yeah, top four, new coach."
I'm trying to get Coach.
Put it this way: the standings the way they are, right? I mean,
here we go.
Roma's only 3 points
here
behind Lazio, so
that's right.
I'm not saying they're a top four side. I'm just saying
in their darkest of times,
based on when you Lazio. Look at the table and you look at what's going on in the league so far, I think the objective still has to be at minimum your Europa League spot.
I mean at some point Udinese and Torino come back to earth, right? They're not keeping this up for another 30 matches, so they'll come back to earth, and that just leaves you Atalanta and Lazio to kind of climb over one of them, and now you're in a European spot.
Yeah, or you could not climb over either and be in the dreaded Conference League spot again and deal with
everybody
that.
Fucking stinks, dude.
Whole thing in the league. I think unless Inter gets it going, and maybe Juve's their defense is so good if they can start finding goals, but like Conte's got to be sitting there like just thinking like this is my league to lose right
Wait
now.
Wait till Lukaku starts scoring.
Yeah, I don't have to, you know, deal with Europe. I don't have to deal with the midweek stuff. These extra Champions League matches this season that Inter has to deal with and Juve has to deal with, and you know, Lazio and is in Europa League, and you know, all his main competition, Milan, they're all dealing with European fixtures. So I think Napoli's in a very enviable spot if you're thinking about winning the league kind of unexpectedly. I'm not saying they're going to do it, but they're setting themselves up to give it a hell of a run, which would be something after the mess that last year was.
As long as they finish above Juve, I'll be okay.
Also, here's my prediction, because I'm the Conte whisperer. Napoli are going to collapse in the second half of the season.
They will.
So you can also have a chance. Do I want to make that my bold prediction, that Roma finish above Napoli in the table at the season?
No, absolutely not.
I'm going to do it. That's my take. I'm done. I'm taking that. Roma will finish above Napoli.
We are going to put a poll out on Twitter.
No, just clip it. We'll come back to this in April. We'll come back to this in April.
Like I just said, he expects Fiorentina to finish ahead of Roma. You've got Roma ahead of Napoli. Does that mean Fiorentina finishes ahead of both of them?
Bro, what happens if Napoli, like, I don't know. I think, again, this is another situation where more can go wrong for Napoli than can go well for them at this point. So I don't mind taking that.
Yeah, I think Inter's still the favorite to win the league. No doubt about it. I just think they're off to a lot slower start than I expected. I mean, you look at the books, they're still minus 155 to win the Scudetto. Napoli's plus 350, Juve plus 500, and Milan plus 900. Everybody else is almost plus 3,000. Atalanta, Roma, Lazio plus 500.
They might as well pack it up.
Yeah.
Clowns.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Teams got to start turning around, though, because it's getting hard to bet this league, I have to say, when you look at
getting
some of these.
It's been like this for three fucking years. There's not one team that is consistent week in and week out.
This is the worst it's been, though, from a betting angle in terms of like betting favorites and betting teams that should win. These are some interesting ones. January.
The dagger. they already won the summer Scudetto, the summer transfer Scudetto. Will they win the January Scudetto also?
That's a good point, though. I mean, Conte loves throwing hissy fits when he doesn't get players that he wants. January is a great time for that to happen. So I could see them dropping three or four games in January alone.
Just so he can get somebody?
No, just because he's pissed and he's just having hissy fits. Conte loves nothing more than to have a hissy fit in front of an entire press conference. So I can see that happening at least twice in January. Over 1.5 Conte hissy fits in the month of January.
Oh, okay. Over.
Yeah, easy.
Sure.
So
do we want to talk about Napoli? Because that's a game this weekend against Empoli, who we just mentioned they're about due to super drop team. Points.
Yeah, they're like low-key really doing well right now. Obviously, from a defensive standpoint, more than an offensive standpoint, they've got only 4 goals conceded, but they've scored just 6.
At home to Napoli, draw no bet, +125.
No.
No, sorry. It's double chance, +125.
That's a little better.
Yeah.
I still don't know if I could trust it, though. And that Napoli's been the best team in the league, so most consistent team in the league so far, at least. Yeah, their only loss was in the opener. I don't know if I can trust that. As well as Empoli's played defensively, that they're going to hold Napoli to...
I would love Empoli +1 to get there. I just don't think it will.
Yeah.
Nick, will you be taking Scott McTominay +320 to score a goal?
I should, because that dude is fucking nasty. could take him to get a card. Is that number
that's
out there?
Probably because better.
That's my guy, Mr. Card. Better.
I don't see any prop bets for cards right now. Unless he has on a different book. But
Napoli, oh no, chalky as shit. Can't do that. Never mind.
Wow, Empoli beat them both times. I know Napoli sucked last year, but Empoli beat them both times, 1-0 last season.
Interesting. Double chance, not double chance. Wait. Yeah, double chance plus money.
So look, we are in the presence of fucking ball knowers here. These guys know the fucking deal. Facts, all facts. Each and every fact, right there.
Does Bruno Fernandes qualify as a midfielder for United in the last 5 years? You no. guys can tell me. I think he's a 10, which qualifies as an attacking midfielder. But
no, that's no.
And if Casemiro wasn't just absolutely miserable in year 2024.
Also 90.
Well, I'm just saying, if he wasn't miserable this year, he would have been up there as well.
Anything else interesting? Genoa +250 hosting Bologna +120. Both teams kind of struggling there. Como -115 hosting Parma +260. Bless you.
Is like Bologna really that bad now that
yeah,
they're +120 yeah. at
they're,
Genoa?
They're bad enough that I don't trust them to score enough no to goals. Win. Not that I expect Genoa to win. I just don't know how much I trust Bologna to score. I think that's the issue there.
I like Morata to score this week against Udinese. I feel like he's on the comeback tour. Divorce tour. Weird game for Milan, though, because like Udinese beats them all the fucking time. So like if you told me Udinese on the spread, like +1.5 at -130, I could kind of get behind that. I think they've looked okay. But Milan's also, I mean, Pulisic doing the thing right now.
Pulisic on fire. I'd love to see goal or assist number. I know they're not out yet. His goal.
I mean, it's pretty much mandatory at this point. That and these guys, Leg and Oaks will tell you, man. Like, if you're in a state like New York with first half shots, I think it's on FanDuel. This dude rips fucking early and often. So Pulisic is the guy right now. You got to ride him. Yep.
What do you think of Fiorentina plus money at Lecce +135?
Trap, because they probably have to fly to like Azerbaijan on fucking Wednesday. And we can't be having that. Fiorentina stink. They don't fucking score.
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought Fiorentina have been bad for me.
They had one game where they scored goals, and it was against Lazio.
Looks like they traveled to.
I also need to know what kit they're wearing on any given day before I bet them, because I feel like with them it's very important.
Where are they going, Coach?
St. Gallen, I guess, is Belgium.
That's this week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big travel. What are they gonna eat there? Waffles.
Belgium is not big travel.
Big travel.
It's like a 45-minute flight.
Probably.
Oh, no, Switzerland. I'm sorry. Switzerland. Oh, so even
an hour 15. Travel,
taking the train.
Hour 15.
Hop on the train. Up on beyond the
Frecciarossa over there.
Frecciarossa, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't. Listen, Moise Keane has gotten off to a really good start. Joking aside, I think he's got like 6 goals already this year. So good for him. But Fiorentina can't be trusted. They're on the absolute no-bet list right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't trust them either. It was just a plus money number, so I threw it out there to see what you had to say, but I don't trust them enough.
If you gave me like draw no bet somewhere close to even money, I would consider it.
Torino goes to Cagliari. It's another team I just
and Torino's on the downswing though.
They're in a downswing.
You're catching a falling knife with them right now. Leave them alone.
Someone got hurt too, I think, right? Didn't one of their strikers get hurt? Didn't Zapata or somebody get hurt?
Yeah, he's done. Yeah, out for the year. Right? See ya. Yeah. They're picking up Balo.
Oh.
No, I made that up. He got hurt immediately. I feel like they signed somebody or they talked about signing somebody, but he's out for the year.
Cali, no losses in three. Cali is a tough place to play, but I don't know if I trust them enough either. So
I don't. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm not loving a lot in Serie A this week besides my team losing and probably your team.
We got two pod locks right now. We can't find a third.
Hold on. Can't find.
Don't make me go back to our Premier League picks because I'll do it. We'll take that Aston Villa game.
Hold on.
Might have to look elsewhere. Might have to go.
Let's see if this is playable. Fuck, it's not playable. Damn it.
Oh, Oaks is throwing a pretty nice one out there, right there.
Dude, Bayern Stuttgart's good. Stuttgart's fucking good.
First half over 1.5.
First half over 1.5. Digging deep.
Bundesliga is a goal-scoring league, Scott.
No, I'm just saying that's like, you know,
yeah.
I trust that because that man had a pick he wanted and he found it. So shout out to Oaks for that one.
Stuttgart is plus 700 at Bayern.
Retegi to score on Venezia plus 115. I don't hate it.
If it was like plus 150, I would.
But I don't know that he's playing the full game.
Yeah.
Definitely not across all comps there, Oaks, because they lost to Villa 1-0 in Champions League the week before.
All right. Atalanta win and over 1.5 is minus 110.
Say that again. Atalanta.
And over 1.5.
And over 1.5 minus 110.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't hate that. We're going to have two of those as our pod locks.
I mean, Venezia is in last place.
They are. That is confirmed. I don't hate it. Coach, you have to pick one from some Serie A. Do you like that? I know you're abstaining from the Roma pick.
I was looking in the Bundesliga. I'm going to throw this one at Oaks because I know he follows Bundesliga probably closer than we do, but I see that Heidenheim, I know they have to probably travel for Conference League midweek, but they are plus 210 on the draw, no bet, and the spread is, let's see, getting three quarters of a goal. They're minus 130 at Mönchengladbach. Mönchengladbach has not been very good so far this season. Curious what he thinks about that.
Madrid and over 1.5 is minus 120. That's Celta Vigo.
I think Leg gave us that one.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Madrid money line and over 1.5 is what he.
Yeah, there you go. Minus 120.
All right, fuck it. I'll take that. Third pod lock. I'm down to ride with Madrid.
Yeah, Iago Aspas is suspended. We know that because we sweated out that Celta result last time. Remember that we got the fucking red card. Somebody else got the red card.
Sure
and
do.
Somehow we won that bet, but we didn't win the other bets that day. I forget what it was. I think it was the Friday. Before the break, it was some crazy stuff going on that day. Yeah, I mean, I'll go with whatever you guys like.
I'm down to take the Madrid and over 1.5 for the third one.
Yeah, that's right. Our boys are fucking showing love in the chat. Yeah. Legs going right out there.
We're in.
For fucking 2 weeks, we have to take Madrid. It's a sign. No way they're losing this game.
We're in. Lock it up. All right, so we got three. We got Brentford plus one. At United, we got Inter and over 1.5 versus Roma. And then we've got Madrid and over 1.5 against Celta, right?
I like it. very, very strong leans with Everton over, Everton plus quarter of a goal.
That's a bonus bet.
Bonuses.
All right.
Anything else we missed? We got Champions League next week, so we'll wrap that.
Sure do.
Yeah, just again, be careful if you just joined. If you didn't hear me on my soapbox or us on our soapboxes, a lot of traps this week. Coming off an international break, always weird. Going into Champions League, a lot of look ahead spots. Be careful. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's the most important message this week. Just be selective about what you're doing. Check lineups. Check who teams have in the midweek and things like that. Yeah.
Big, don't listen to Nick and get a good number early, but wait until lineups come out week. And Beto might be going to Roma. Let's just keep an eye on that. We're tracking that closely.
Well, Beto might be going to Roma. The January transfer window, Nick?
It's when we thrive.
All right, I guess we'll wrap it there. So we thank you guys for listening. Thank you for everyone who joined us in the chat, watching live.
Axe, appreciate you all. Guys, hit the like button, please. Retweet, re-like. What's it called on YouTube when you can't repost?
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever it is,
like,
it helps out.
Subscribe. You know.
Appreciate
retweet
it.
Retweet us. Help us spread the word if you enjoy the show. We appreciate it as we try to grow this thing. And we'll catch you guys next week.